Take your Bibles this morning and stand with me and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This message is titled, Two Ways. Two Ways. We're going to start in verse 13 when you get to Matthew chapter 7. Starting in Matthew chapter 7, it says, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 13, Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we are thankful for your word. And Father, I thank you that it's so clear, that there are two ways that man can go, two ways that man can choose in this life. And I pray, Father, that we here in attendance today, I pray that we have all made the right choice. And I pray, Father, that as we go through your word this morning, I pray that it will be clear to us the right choice. And I pray, Father, for your guidance, for your direction. Give me boldness to preach your word. I pray again, Father, for the very words that you'd have me to speak to be put in my mouth, that they would go out, they would touch our hearts, and change our lives for the better. And then, Father, I pray not only would we be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word, that we would go out and share your word with others. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The number two has great significance in the Bible. There's two tables of stone. There's two sons of Aaron. Abraham had two sons. Isaac had two sons. Two in the tabernacle. There were two goats, two turtle doves, two pigeons, two oxen used together. Samson, there was two pillars, two witnesses, two resurrections. Tribulation has two periods. Two by two, they entered the ark. Two sets of brothers in the 12 disciples. Widows, two mites. Two thieves on the cross. Two shall be grinding, two in the field, two births, two deaths, two foundations in our text. And there are two ways you can go at the end of this life. Two different ways, which depend upon which of two choices you make now. Satan always has a counterfeit to God's plan. Been teaching through the doctrines of Satan on Thursday night. And right now we're going through all the counterfeit stuff that Satan's got, and if you missed it, we're at counterfeit Bibles. Counterfeit Bibles out there. But Jesus told the disciples in verse 15 of our text, he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." We see that. We see that happening. We need to be careful. That's why it's important to protect the purity of God's church, because there are those that come in and want to destroy. Satan's counterfeit, the wide gate, the broad way. The broad way. It's Satan's attempt to lure millions, millions of people to the fiery pits of hell. Millions. I'm not talking just a few. The Bible is very clear that the narrow way is the one that few find. The broad way, Satan's way, is the one that many, many find. And Satan wants it that way. Satan has the wide gate. The wide gate. He makes the wide gate look very similar to the narrow one. He paints the broad way with religious colors. That's why I've said for years, religion doesn't save anyone. Religion is the quickest way for people to get to hell. They need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what they need. Fortunately, today, Satan's got it painted very beautiful. And people think it's wonderful, and they want to go the wide way instead of the narrow way. He's very successful in his approach. Jesus himself said, "Many there be which go in thereat." Many. I heard a guy the other day, he was preaching, and he said, "You know, if we want to say that drawing a crowd is the right way, is the only way, then we should be following the Pope, right? He draws a big crowd. A very big crowd. Doesn't mean he has the truth. We need to be careful. Therefore, God has put upon me to warn people. To warn people. He's put it upon every single child of His to warn people, to tell them the truth, to tell them which way is right. Look at Proverbs chapter 16, but stay in Matthew, we'll be back. Proverbs 16. Verse 25. Proverbs 16 and verse 25. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." See, man thinks that his way is the right way. Man wants you to believe that if you follow him, it will be the right choice, right? How many times do you get people and they stand up before you and they want your vote, so they tell you what you want to hear, right? Then you find out that they go exactly opposite of what they say. Man's way is not always, in fact, it's never the right way. Let's make sure we're following God's way instead of man's way. There are two ways to heaven mentioned. There are two ways there that heaven is mentioned. Two ways to heaven. Man's way, a works-based salvation, right? Look at all the great things I'm doing, right? Man, I don't miss anything. If there's a God event, I'm there, right? I don't miss anything. In fact, I'd just as soon be in church 24/7, right? Because I'm going to do everything I can to make myself be able to go to heaven through my works. It's not what the Bible teaches, but that's what man teaches. Religion is founded on works. In fact, religion says, "What must I do? What must I do?" And people say, well, there's many things, right? Look at verse 22 of our text, where Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? I mean, look at all these things we've done for you, Lord. Yeah. Man has always sought his own salvation. Man wants his own salvation. Adam and Eve did it in the Garden of Eden, right? When they sinned, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together, right? To cover their nakedness. Why? Because they were ashamed. But God didn't accept their efforts, did he? And he won't accept ours either. There are always two ways for salvation. Man's way, which is works, and God's way, which is be born again. Have a choice. We have a choice. Man's way is the way to hell, and God's way is the way to heaven. Depends on where you want to spend eternity, right? Man attempts to make himself equal with God. You get so irritated with people that just talk about the man upstairs. That is so disrespectful to the God who created us. Then he talks about, you know, the good buddy. My good buddy. No, he is Almighty God. Where's our respect for him? We need to show him respect. Man attempts to make himself equal with God. That is why he tries to make his own way to heaven. Says, what's wrong with my way? I'm going to go to heaven because I want to, right? It's not what God says. You can want all you want. When man says that, that's just humanism. That's humanism. If man acknowledges that God is superior, then what happens? Then man must submit to God. See, man doesn't like to submit. That's the rub, right? Man doesn't want to submit to God. Man says, I'll make my own way. God says, nice try. But man says, I will get my own way to heaven, right? And how many times have you heard people are, I hope my good works outweigh my bad. Aren't you glad that it's not a scale that you have to try and balance? Or do better than? I mean, aren't you glad that it's not that way? Can you imagine you're just barely got that thing balanced in your favor? And all of a sudden you do something that just upsets the whole thing and it goes the opposite way. I thank God that we don't have to wonder if we're going to make it to heaven or not. I thank God that we can know for sure. Thank God that we don't have to say, I'm relying on what I'm doing, but instead we can say, I'm relying on what God has already done. And therefore, no matter what I do, God's got it handled. Maybe you're counting on church attendance. There's some people I hear, well, you know, I go to church. Well, you know, sitting in a pew doesn't make you a Christian. Sitting in a pew doesn't make you a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. But people are counting on that. Church membership, well, I joined a church. That doesn't assure that you're on your way to heaven. Well, I was baptized. Doesn't that count for something? Not salvation. People say, well, all these things, man, they have a work day at church and I never miss a one of them. In fact, I am so devoted to making sure that I'm there every single day doing something at the church for God because I want God to see how much I'm doing for him. See, man attempts all of that. And man says, but look at all I've done. And Jesus says, but you're relying on the wrong thing. You're trying to get there on your own. The name on the church rolls is not a ticket to heaven. Some people try to keep the Ten Commandments and then you ask them to name them and they can't. I've never figured out how somebody can keep something that they don't even know what they are. But you ask them, well, I'm keeping the Ten Commandments. Well, name them. And all of a sudden, they can't come up with one of them. Then you wonder, are they really, really relying on that when they don't even know what they are? Working, 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 doing things, trying to do enough that it'll take you to heaven. All of these things that I named are man's way, and they lead directly to hell. Several in the places in the New Testament, we see this phrase, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Man's way is through his own works. But notice what I said. It doesn't say to earn eternal life. It says to inherit eternal life. That, see, it's such a small different change there, right? Inherit, earn. Sounds like such a small thing, but it's huge. There's a huge difference there. I can't earn eternal life. But thank God I can inherit eternal life. Which brings us to God's way. God's way is be born again. Look at John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. John chapter 3 and verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Born once, die twice. Be born twice and die once. If you're not submitted to the new birth, you will bring about your own doom in the lake of fire. It's judgment for relying in our own works because we can't pay the penalty for our own sin. You've been born with a sin nature. In Psalm chapter 51 and verse 5, talks about that very thing. Psalm 51 and verse 5 says, Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. See, we're born sinners, folks. We didn't have to be taught how to sin. We're born with that sin nature. You have to be born again with God's nature. So look at 2 Corinthians 15:21. Excuse me, 5:21. I don't know what I said, but 2 Corinthians 5:21. Says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And go to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. First Corinthians 15, verse 22, where it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way." See, there's not many ways to heaven. There's one. One. Then there's two ways to happiness. Man's way, give me the world. Or God's way, right? But man's way, the rich man was confused about happiness, wasn't he? Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Satan will cause you to believe that happiness can come only in things and thrills, right? Satan wants us to believe that if you don't have all the credit cards and them all maxed out, right? A brand new car in the driveway, a beautiful new home, and maybe even a DVR in every single room of the house, right? He'll say that if you don't have all that, you can't be happy. Well, I guess there's a lot of us that aren't happy, right? It's amazing. How about all the latest fashions in clothing? I have to tell you, some of the latest fashions in clothing I wouldn't even want to wear, let alone own them. It's amazing. But they'll tell you, if you don't have all the latest and greatest, right? We were watching a thing. I like to watch the House Hunters stuff because I like to see how they see three houses and buy one, right? It's like the easiest real estate job in history. You show them three houses and they buy one. And then later they tell you, you know, you've seen tons of houses. How did you see tons of houses when they keep telling you that they have to make an offer immediately because the houses are all going to be gone? So anyway, it's kind of interesting. But they go through and they look at a house that's been built in the 2000s, right? And they go, well, you can't live with this kitchen. It's dated. You're going to have to rip it out and redo it. Or, look at this bathroom. It was built 3 years ago. It's so dated. You're going to have to rip this out and redo it. Look at this flooring. It was put in last year. Oh, but it's not my color. I'm going to have to rip it out and redo it. Why? Because Satan has us believing that we have to have the latest and greatest, right? You get those things on your phone, it's time for an upgrade, right? If you just trade in your old phone, we'll give you this much credit for the new phone, which costs like four times as much as the credit they give you, because you have to have the latest technology, right? remember when they came to our house and he hooked up the new internet and all. And he says, how old is this TV? I said, I don't know, probably 12 to 14 years. I don't know. It's been a while. Oh, well, that's not going to have some of the features. Oh, well, that's too bad, isn't it? It still works, right? So what do I need new for? Because Satan's trying to convince us that we need all these things to make us happy. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some things that make me happy, right? I liked walking in here this morning and the coolness of the air was nicer than the heat outside. I like that. I like the fact that when we walk in and the lights are flipped on, they come on. I like that. I like some of the modern conveniences. I like the fact that I could get in a car and drive the 25 miles from my house instead of walk 25 miles from my house. I like that. But I don't have to have the best that's out there and the greatest that's out there. As we were driving up the highway the other day, I told my wife one of the signs out in front of the dealership was this pickup truck, and it was just barely under $60,000. And I said, and that's one of the cheaper ones. She about gasped when I said $60,000, and then I told her it's one of the cheaper ones. Can you imagine? I know people who are spending $100,000 on a new pickup. Like, that's insane. Insane. We need to look to the Bible for God's way to happiness. And remember, Satan's way. There's a huge difference. God's way, give me your life. Give me your life. Deny self and follow Christ. Well, Satan's way, I don't have to deny any of my worldly pleasures, right? I can do whatever I want. But God's way, I have to deny myself and follow Him. You want to be happy? You need to follow the Lord. Look at Luke chapter 14 and verse 33. Luke 14 and verse 33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Want to be happy? Follow the Lord. Just follow the Lord. So where is happiness? It's not in unbelief. It's not in unbelief. Listen to some of these. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He tried religion to its fullest, and he wrote this, and I quote, I wish I had never been born, unquote. Not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a lifetime of pleasure, if anyone did, and he wrote this, and I quote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone, unquote. It's not in money. A millionaire, American millionaire, Jay Gould, had plenty of money. And he said this when dying, and I quote, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth, unquote. And people say, well, if I just had a little bit more money, I could be happy. People that had more money than they know what to do with, I am the most miserable man on earth. People say, well, I'd like to at least see what it's like. What, to be miserable? Not in position and fame, Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both, and he wrote this, quote, youth is a mistake. manhood a struggle, old age a regret, unquote. Geez, sounds like these guys had a lot of fun, didn't it? Sounded like they were all happy, doesn't it? Not in military glory either. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept because he said, quote, there are no more worlds to conquer, unquote. So he's no longer happy because he has nothing else to conquer. See, happiness is in the wrong thing. So where is happiness found? The answer is in Christ alone. In Christ alone we can have happiness. In John 16:22, Jesus said in John 16, verse 22, says, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. We can find joy and happiness in the Lord. And then look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. That's from the wisest man that ever lived. He says, happiness does not come from things. Did you get that? Happiness does not come from things. Happiness is found in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where happiness is found. Satan will tell you, happiness can only be found in worldly pleasures. And Jesus says, happiness can only be found in Him. Who are we going to listen to? Satan? Or are we going to listen to God? Are we going to follow God or are we going to follow Satan? Satan wants to mess us up. Satan wants us on the wrong track. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? If you're not, you can be. The choice has to be made while you still have breath. While we still have breath. And not think that all the latest and greatest, right? I've already told you, all the latest and greatest doesn't really matter, does it? Because when we leave this earth, how many of your electronic devices are you taking with you? How many of your new cars are you taking with you? How many new houses are you taking with you? How many new sets of clothing are you taking with you? The answer is none. The answer is none. The same old story. There's never a U-Haul being pulled behind a hearse. Doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, folks. We can't take any of it with us. And I know many times people say, well, I want to put this in the casket with them so they'll have it. They're not going to have it. If you dig up that casket, it'll still be there. Be rotted probably, but it'll be in there. It didn't go anywhere. Because it's not. Because we're not taking any of this with us anywhere. And I don't care if they're on their way to heaven or if they're on their way to hell. They're not taking any of this world with them. But I got news for you. heaven's going to be a lot more happiness. And hell is going to be torments. And that goes on, as the Bible tells us, for all eternity. So next week, we'll finish with part 2. Let's pray.